Paul Sir, Executive Director of Basketball Alberta, join us once again. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm all Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I was interested watching that game last night. You know, really kind of a team effort for Canada when no one has more than 11 points.
Don't they just share the ball so well and hurt you from so many different angles? And all along we've been saying this is a 12-person rotation, and all 12 players were in the game in the first quarter, and everybody contributed once again. They spread the ball out. They share the ball. They make the extra pass. They run some very different looks for the international game, Jason. Canada is unique in the world in the offense that they run, and it really works well for them, and it suits their personnel very well. That was on display last night.
Having that many players in, Paul, I know it's, you know, it's against an opponent that, let's be honest, isn't going to be that competitive. As a guy who coached long-term, obviously as they get into more meaningful games, you just realistically can't get that rotation that open early in a game, can you?
No, you can't. But one of the things Lisa Tomitas has done is I've seen close games where she has played all 12, but then she'll zero in on who's playing well. And of course, we've often referred to Kia Nurse's 33-point performance against the Americans in the Pan Am finals. They just kept going to her, and that's one of the qualities this team has. Is they when they get somebody that's hot, they're going to keep trying to find ways to get them looks. And in Kia Nurse's situation, they just got out of her way and did everything they could to free her up. So they certainly aren't going to have that kind of rotation, as you said, Jason. But I wouldn't be surprised, even in a tight game, that all 12 get on the floor.
Looking you know, at Canada, and you talk about their ball distribution, which is very well. Ken Gosher had 11 points, also Langlois and Murphy with 11, Kia Nurse with 10. As you move forward in the tournament, and with Brazil getting the guaranteed spot to the Olympic Games, I know that's going to change their philosophy and who they bring to the tournament, but also means Canada just has to make the final if it's against Brazil to ensure they make it.
It creates, I think, two real intriguing scenarios. You're right. Scenario number one, ideally, if the goal of the tournament is to get to Rio, if they get to the finals against Brazil, that they've reached their goal. I still would see Canada playing very hard and wanting to win the gold medal. I know that's their goal as well. But the other scenario that intrigues me, that I really am curious about watching over the next two nights, is Brazil did not handle Venezuela last night in the way most people would have expected that they would. And I think it may indicate and demonstrate what some have said, that this is Brazil's weaker team. One website called it their B team, and I wouldn't go that far. But they don't have some of their top players on this team, which for me creates a real interesting scenario. If let's say Canada plays Cuba on Thursday, both teams are undefeated, Canada defeats Cuba and then goes to the crossover in the semis, I could see a Cuba-Brazil game resulting in Cuba beating Brazil. Then we'd have potentially, if Canada were to win, a Cuba-Canada final. Then they do have to win to go. So that's the intrigue. That's the scenario to me that's most interesting. Is Brazil strong enough to get to the finals? Because up till this point, everybody's assumed that was just sort of a lock. And I'm not so sure that it is. Cuba is very good.
And them and Canada are in the same pool, and that becomes a really crucial game on Thursday, correct?
Certainly does. I think that will be a phenomenal game because Cuba presents, you know how it is, Jason. I mean, matchups are everything. Canada has some difficult matchups with Cuba, and they beat them by three. I think it was 64-61 in the Pan Am games. So it wasn't the 97-point shootout like we saw last night. It was a much more defensive-oriented game, and I think you'd see the same thing on Thursday. So that really is going to be an exciting game for us to be able to watch here in Edmonton.
Paul, Virgin Islands got spanked by Ecuador, and then you know, Ecuador is getting spanked by Argentina. Is there a concern that the level of the top to the bottom teams at this tournament really isn't very competitive?
I think that in any FIBA event, male or female, the difference between the 10 teams is oftentimes strikingly different. So you're right, Jason. There's not a parity here. There are the top four teams and maybe a fifth, but the bottom five aren't in the same league that the top teams are. And that's very typical globally. So without the Americans, obviously, here, without Brazil's A team, Canada certainly has a great opportunity. But like I said, don't underestimate the Cubans. The Cubans are very, very good. And with the home court advantage, of course, everything looks like it's in Canada's favor. But Thursday night's going to be a great game to watch. And people are going to see a very, very good top 12 team. And Argentina is always dangerous, too. They've got one of the better point guards in the world playing for them. So still a lot of good basketball to play.
Canada takes on Chile at 8:30 or 6:30 Edmonton time. Then, of course, they've got Dominican Republic on Wednesday. And then, of course, Thursday they will take on Cuba. When, you know, you look at the next few games for Canada, they just kind of build up. Does the is Chile going to present a tougher matchup today than what they saw yesterday?
Hard to say. Chile beat the Dominican Republic badly, so I think they're a somewhat comparable team to Puerto Rico, and it's not like Puerto Rico was a bad team. They just had nothing to show to be able to stop Canada on the inside at all last night. Their guards are good. One of their guards, Delgado, I believe, just was cut by the WNBA, was the last cut from a WNBA team. And they didn't have their best player from the WNBA, another guard on Puerto Rico. So Puerto Rico, from a skill standpoint, was pretty good. They just didn't have the depth, balance, and certainly the size that Canada had. So Chile, we'll see. Everybody's got to play. When you have a lopsided victory against the Dominican like they had, obviously they can put the ball in the basket. I would certainly expect a result heavily in Canada's favor tonight, but that's why they play the games. So it's still going to be an entertaining game and an opportunity for all of us to go out and see the ladies play.
How are ticket sales going, Paul?
Had a great crowd last night. I think everybody expects the crowds to be softer tonight and tomorrow night, and hopefully we're going to have standing room only on Thursday. Again, as long as Canada takes care of business over the next two games. The games where Canada's not involved, you know, crowds aren't very big, but they're bigger than they were in Mexico at the last qualifier.
Okay.
So I think last night at the start of the Brazil game, there were 500 or 600 people still in the gym. Halftime, some started to clear out. For the afternoon sessions, I understand there were 200 to 300. Mexico, last time they played, there were 50 people in the stands. So Edmontonians are getting out and supporting them. Albertans are as well. So hopefully we'll have a good crowd tonight. And this Canada team is very likable and easy to get behind. So hopefully people come out and cheer them on.
And once again, Ticketmaster.ca, the place to get tickets. And Thursday's game is almost sold out. And then, of course, they will get into the semifinals, which will go at 3:30 and 6 o'clock on Saturday. And then the finals happen on the 16th at 3:30 and again 6 o'clock. And obviously, the bronze and gold medal game, excuse me. And everybody in Edmonton hoping that Canada will play in that 6 o'clock game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Paul, we appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Jason.